Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
You have made a healthy living off of stating hard truths. Some that most of America believes, some that America does not. Coming off of Monday Night Football, what is the hard truth? Where is it so quiet you can hear a mouse urinating
somewhere?
That's right.
On all those former players who believed that you didn't need any coaching experience and that the Jeff Saturday hire was the correct hire, and they were hoping and wishing. The Colts haven't won, Doug, but I'll tell you who won. The coaching profession has won. Because the Colts are a mess. Jeff Saturday has been a disaster. And quietly, they won't say it. I remember Bill Cowher on CBS. He first ripped the Jeff Saturday hire. And then, of course, he won his first game over the Raiders. Remember that? And everybody was waving the pom-pom. You know, your dad was a coach, right?
Doug, brother's a coach. He's been coaching for 27
Okay, so
years.
You know what I mean. You come from a coaching family. And it was a narrative that you didn't. None of that mattered. You don't need to. You just need to be a leader of men. And if you played the game, people will respect it. No, there's some coaching involved. And so I think the Jeff Saturday experiment has set that back. And that the coaching profession, while they might not gloat about it or talk about it, they're very happy that he's been a colossal failure.
Yeah, the problem with that is we're talking the same day that Nathaniel Hackett was fired. And he was as prepared as any human could be for the job, and he just wasn't good enough. So I'm not going to argue with you that the Saturday thing, especially the past couple weeks, the roof has fallen in. They were very competitive, you know, and found ways to lose leads. It's not a good football team, and maybe that's what all of this does is it. It's like a bait and switch. We don't even realize, like, they don't have a left tackle. They clearly don't have a quarterback. There's so many positions. They're not very good outside the numbers of wide receivers. And yet people were, myself included, in on the Colts potentially, you know, winning that division. Obviously before the first coaching change, I would push back against you. Are there things that you need to learn in coaching? Absolutely. As a guy who interviewed for coaching jobs without head coaching experience, I can tell you that I'm fully aware there are things you only learn from doing. But the flaw to the argument of, well, see, you got to have coached in order to know how to coach is, okay, so what do we do with the Nathaniel Hackett deal? Dad was a coach, grew up doing it. Everybody swore by him. And it just, I mean, again, on the same day he gets fired. Right?
Well, the argument is simple. Everybody's not going to be successful even if they take the steps. That's not my argument. I mean, just because you did do all that doesn't mean everybody can't be successful. People are going to lose, right? Good coaches are going to lose big games. Marty Schottenheimer lost a lot of big games when he was a head coach and other guys who were lifetime coaches. So it's not that. It was just the idea that other people should skip the line and not put in any work. And I get it. It's happened in the NBA where a couple guys, I remember when Larry Bird got hired, but they gave him Rick Carlisle and Dick Carter, you know, like as his assistants.
They didn't give him. That's honestly the best point anybody could make. It's like, look, and this is with Nathaniel Hackett, right? The guy who takes over for Nathaniel Hackett is the guy he hired out of retirement to help him manage the game.
Well, didn't that say something, Doug, even after week one that you had to hire that guy? I mean,
yes,
I was.
Yes, but here's the thing. Yes, of course, it's like, what, you can't manage the game yourself?
Right.
What are you doing, right? I get it. But the point that you're making, or at least I don't know if you're making it, but you're making a really good one, is like, if you don't know, hire somebody who does.
Right. I was in Detroit when Matt Millen got the GM job, right? And never worked in the front office at all. And Matt Millen talked a good game on television. You know that, Doug. He was good. He was good. When you heard him talk about players and the things, it just was like, oh, this guy knows football in and out. The Lions hire him, right? Finally, hey, they got a football guy, got to win 4 Super Bowls. Oh, man, Matt Millen. And he didn't bring in some veteran GM or somebody, you know, who was retired or who could show him the ropes. So he was going to do it himself. And arguably, he's the worst general manager in the history of sports, okay? And that was another one of those situations. You just can't turn the keys over to a 13-year-old to drive your new Mercedes, and he doesn't have a driver's license. That's what I'm against.
Look, what happened with the Colts is, remember Ryan Grigson, who was their general manager. And I mean, it's interesting. Last night they're playing against Tom Telesco. Telesco was in the building with the Colts. You know, Bill Polian retired.
Right.
You know, and so they choose Grigson, who's their top scout. And the logic behind it was, man, Grigson gets such a good eye for talent as a scout. Like, the rest of the stuff, they take care of itself. But everybody in the Colts building can tell you, like, it was a disaster because he didn't know all the little GM stuff.
Right.
You know? So here's the thing with Saturday. I thought the Saturday experiment, I think a lot of it was they were just trying to figure out, like, all right, let's just bring in a neutral voice to tell us who we like, who we don't like, because we're going to have to change this thing. The problem is he hires a guy who's never called plays to call plays. Like,
right.
If you're not going to have experience, everybody else damn well better.
Yeah, that was the big mistake. When they hired him or, you know, elevated, I was like, that doesn't make sense. You need to go get a veteran guy, somebody who can help you, not another guy who's trying to blindly lead you and put you in that situation. And the numbers, Doug, are horrific. I mean, and here's another part. I don't know if you've seen these about second halves and what they've done. And they're all ugly. Like, they've been outscored 83-9.
Yep.
Do you have them in front of you? Have you seen those?
Here it is.
Let me give it to you. Okay. Since Saturday took over, in week 10, the Colts have been outscored 66 points after halftime. We talk about adjustments. It's even worse in the fourth quarter, 83-9, and even worse the last 2 weeks, 55-0. So there's just in the second half and later in games.
They had nothing yesterday. They had no offense against the Chargers. They couldn't protect the quarterback. Nick Foles looked awful. I mean, they are so bad in their interior five, and then at their quarterback, it's just bad. It's interesting because we went through a good portion of the season where everybody was 500. Remember that?
Yep.
It was like 4 weeks ago, like everybody was 500. Like, damn. Like, and then now all of a sudden, water's found this level. Like,
you know it, right?
You know, like the Chargers, though they're still not healthy, and they're still, you still have, you know, as a guy who's like a long suffering Charger fan, you still don't really have complete belief that they'll do it when they're supposed to do it in the playoffs. The fact is, like, they're just better than the Colts. They got just better dudes than the Colts. They're just better, you know, and the Bills and the Chiefs and now there's a separating. Now there's still a clump in the middle of somebody's got to win the AFC South. Somebody's got to win the NFC South.
Right.
Right? Those two. But with that as the exception, and the playoffs, there's too many teams in the playoffs. This is what we do. The NFL has now become the NHL and the NBA.
Terrible. This is what I'm always against, and people always like, more is better, and everybody's in the mix. No, you that's not the league you want. And you also got to be very careful to make it to where the regular season doesn't matter as much, you know, or you could just be mediocre. That's what I was against in baseball. I know they've upped it. I don't want it to get to the NBA or the NHL where you want to almost totally disregard the regular season, you know, and be like, oh, most of the teams, other than the Lakers, everybody knows who's going to make the playoffs in the NBA, just right? Just about, because 15, how many teams make it? 16 of the 30 teams make it. So I don't like the oversaturation of the playoff.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We look at the NFL, and we only got a couple weeks left. Right, we look at the NFC, it looks like Niners, Eagles, and then maybe somebody else, right? Maybe Packers slide in late. I don't know, but those are the two best teams. AFC, a little bit more open, but Bengals, Chiefs, Bills, maybe Ravens, Lamar is healthy. Maybe they creep back in the mix. Those are the best teams. Chargers have the talent, but still not healthy and haven't proven it in the playoffs, so it's hard to jump on there. It's really interesting that as the playoffs expand, we're really kind of contracting who can win this thing.
Yeah, I think that we don't really know. You could pick a couple teams and say, hey, I really like this guy, I like that guy. I mean, I love what's happening in Cincinnati. I got to admit, I was wrong. I had them not making the playoffs, Doug, before the season started. I didn't see it, but I'm wrong.
Because the way I look at things is I get it, but what did Pittsburgh make you think that they were going to be better? Did you think Cleveland was going to be better?
No, I just thought, if you remember last year, it's not like they were 13-3. I mean, you know, they were, I think, 10-6 is what their record was. So they got in, and then, you know, they won some games, and things worked their way. Patrick Mahomes throws a pick in the AFC Championship. Remember, they were losing big time in the first half, and Mahomes throws a pick in his own zone and his own end, which allowed them to win on a field goal or whatever. So a lot of things went right, and they played fine and all that. But I've seen teams do that and in the next year not make it, not make the playoffs. Not, you know, when I was looking at them saying, man, a lot of things went right. Are they going to do this again? And they start out 0-2, so I'm feeling like, okay, I've been covering the NFL since 1987, and they're 2-4, and maybe I am right, and maybe I'm going to be right, and Joe Burrow proves me wrong and has played really well and has a chance to – could he leapfrog, Doug, and win the MVP if they win these next two? They have two games against two good teams, and if they win those games and he plays well, could he win the MVP?
Could he? Yeah, I think people make up their mind on things, though, right? They make up their mind on, well, Pat Mahomes, who's been really good.
But my only argument with Pat Mahomes, and I'm not, look at who he's beaten and the games he's put up against some of the worst teams in the, I mean, it's mind-boggling. And you got to play who's on the schedule, Doug, and I'm not trying to poo-poo it, but if you really take a close look at the teams that he's had all the success against, they're really bad teams.
Okay. I mean, wouldn't that be? Wouldn't you say the same thing about Jalen Hurts? I mean, they've played an incredibly soft schedule. Like, are we gonna?
Yeah, but they but they've only lost one. They only had lost one game with him, which is a little different than I had it a couple weeks ago. I had the breakdown. I'd have to find it again, but it is a plethora of bottom feeder defensively, you know what I mean, and the and any struggles he had were against the better team. I'm not saying
no,
he's not in the conversation.
Beat the Chargers twice, beat the Niners. Granted, Niners quarterback situation was Garoppolo started that game, right? And against the Niners, he had three touchdowns. So I'm going to disagree with you in terms of have they beaten bad teams? Yes, but they've beaten good teams too. That's why they're still in competition with the number one seed.
I think he's obviously in the conversation, but I really like what Joe Burrow has done and their climb out of the hole that they were in. And remember, he started with the injury, right? What did he have? An appendix removed, and he wasn't in training camp. They got off to a bad start. He threw some picks and had turnovers in the first part of the season. It's been impressive. And Jalen Hurts, when you add the rushing touchdowns with the passing and just what he was able to do. This is a guy who, Doug, I don't know where you were, but there were a lot of people. I remember we had Anthony Gargano from Fox
Sports Radio. I didn't think he'd be the starter next year.
Okay. He was awful last year.
He wasn't awful. He was awful in the playoffs. He was just limited. And I think there's a lot of people who think. And what they've done is Shane Steichen's been smart. He's taken a bunch of notes from what Oklahoma did. And, you know, Oklahoma, by about midseason, his 1 year there, they were frustrated because at the time he wasn't going through progressions. He wasn't as good in that offense as they had hoped. So they have designed dropbacks into runs, and that's what Philadelphia does. And it's incredibly hard to defend because, you know, when you have a quarterback as a runner, obviously that means it's 11-on-11 football. But no one else really has played this way, I guess, with some exceptions. You know, Baltimore, but Baltimore's offense is different. But in terms of designed runs on dropbacks, and the question becomes, at what point will people adjust? You know, what will people adjust to it? But you're right. I didn't think Jalen Hurts was good enough. Most people didn't think he was good enough. I'm not sure the Eagles thought he was good enough. And he's both improved. They played a soft schedule, and they have a dominant team. So it's really hard to tell just how good he is until we get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that is a factor, but it's a regular season award, and I think he's got to be in that conversation. And before he got hurt, it reminds me kind of like Carson Wentz. You remember? Carson Wentz was poised to win the MVP and then got hurt almost the same time frame, and then Brady came in and won that MVP.
Oh, won the league MVP? Yeah.
Yeah, it was almost identical when Wentz was rolling that year that they wound up winning the Super Bowl.
It's weird because with the exception of you, like the Bengals thing, you know, now they're obviously 11-4 and they've reeled them off. But for the most part, if you look at the standings, it's about where most people thought teams would be. Right? There's very few surprises there. If you really stop and think about it, I mean, the Broncos are the lone kind of surprise. But if you had started the year...
Yeah, a lot of people had the Broncos going to the Super Bowl. They you know, they thought add star quarterback, add water, stir, and you're going to the Super Bowl. And that division was supposed to be
the
end-all, be-all, right?
Yes, yes. Yes, and the Raiders have been disappointed. Now, look, if you're fair, the Raiders have lost these leads that you should, you know, part of it does speak to they do have some talent. And they had a couple weeks there where you didn't have Waller, you didn't have...
Still, Josh McDaniels, awful. Just, you know, look at his record. I mean, when he started as head coach of Denver, I think they won their first six games. First six games, right? But since then, if you just look, it has not been good, Doug. And I won't even mention that he left the Colts at the altar when he reneged on the deal that he had struck with them. So I think he should be fired, but they won't.
Wait. You think that he should be fired for the Raiders?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
I just think they have too much talent to be as bad. And they lost three games this year where they had 17 points or more leads, and they lost those games.
Yep.
I don't think it's ever happened in the NFL, and it shouldn't happen. And then there's games where Davante Adams has two passes for 15 yards. How? How is that possible?
Look, I think the idea, though, that you fire a guy if he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, I don't know why they were in press man coverage against the Rams. That game they absolutely should have won. That was silly. You're on your own 23-yard line defensively, 15 seconds to go. Keep everybody in play.
Right.
You know, keep everybody in bounds. Make a tackle. Game probably, maybe you have to defend two plays. They don't. But I don't. First, Mark Davis is not firing him. He's too invested in it.
No, I get that.
Think that a lot of what happened last year, everything went right for Rich Bisaccia. This year, so many things went wrong. But he's going to.
Look at the record, Doug. After his, okay. I'm just saying, in Denver.
He was not good in Denver.
He was not good in Denver.
There's no defending it. It was a decade ago.
Right.
But there's no defending it. The point is that if you keep cycling through coaches, then you have to keep cycling through defenses and styles. Remember,
I hear that argument all the time. So you just because a guy's in place and it's wrong, just keep it because you don't want to change. I think that doesn't make any sense. Sometimes, you know what, when it comes to coaching, you need to make a change. I'm going to give you two examples, one in baseball and one in the NBA. Steve Nash needed to be fired. He needed to be fired, Doug. And when Kevin Durant first said it, people went, oh, here's the inmates running the asylum. This is ridiculous. No. Steve Nash was not a good coach. He probably should have been fired, Doug, when they got swept by the Celtics, right? When he couldn't make any adjustments. He couldn't give Kevin Durant any
what
open
adjustments,
look.
What adjustments can you make when you don't have players?
Okay, here's my point. Look at where this team is now. Would you say that was a great move to get rid of him and do something different in Brooklyn?
I definitely think a move had to be made. I don't know the exact correlation. They're doing the same stuff. I think Steve got beaten down by everything that went down.
Okay, here's my other one.
He was not good. He was not good enough. And Jock is, but let's not act like people are celebrating the Jock Vaughn hire.
No. And the Nets finally made the right. They didn't go get Odoka. You remember that? They were going to do that, and people told them not to.
No, they wanted to. Or the owner wanted to, and they're like, yeah, you can't. You can't.
And it wound up working out for him. But the other one was the Phillies this year. People balked when they got rid of Joe Girardi like 30, 40 games into a long baseball season, and something wasn't right there. Rob Thompson comes in, and they go to a World Series. Bryce Harper thoroughly endorsed it, was like, dude, we need a change here. Like, we got talent. Something's not right, and it works out. So all I'm saying is I get it. You're soaked in with money. You gave Josh McDaniels this contract. It's the first year. You don't want to change everything, but sometimes you got to look at it and say it's just not working. It's just like you're not going to give. You didn't give Nathan Ken Hackett another year to say, well, you know,
there's a difference there between not able to get the plays in on time and the home fans are counting down on the play clock. And
that's classic, though.
And then having leads and have all different sorts of ways to lose these leads and lose games. The problem is, one, I think most people think that Josh McDaniels knows what he's doing. Doesn't have a perfect team, trying to figure out what he's got. That thing was such a mess. Remember, the Raiders, they didn't just change all their coaching personnel from last year. They changed the front office And they changed the front office on the football side and the non-football side. Like that is an organization in complete turmoil and transition.
Yeah, but Doug, here's where I disagree, and I'll push back. If it was just a mess because the front office and the changes or whatever you want to say, and they're not up by 17 and it's just a whitewash and everything's discombobulated or just a mess and you just can't figure it out because too many things have changed, I'll buy that. But to play well enough to get a 17-point lead in these games in the NFL and cough them up, I'm going to point to coaching, that the players didn't know what to do, didn't know how to finish out the games. The coaching wasn't good enough. And given his history and what happened in Denver and everything, I would just say maybe he's not a head coach as good as he was as an offensive coordinator.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I can eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? Or, I don't know, take over a minute to down a 2-liter? Well, if you have, then you're going to love Pick 6. It's the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how you play it during the playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they will have more or less of a stat, rebounds, points, assists, and more. Also, you track your picks, play against others for a shot to win at some big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now. Use the promo code DPSHOW for a chance to win huge cash prizes. That's code DPSHOW. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Our next guest can answer all the questions that we have because the guy's been doing his entire professional life. And now he covers
it. And he's got the greatest last name. Come on, let's be honest.
And he's the host of the Lombardi Line on VSiN. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter, at M Lombardi NFL. He's Michael Lombardi, longtime NFL GM, front office member, author as well. He joins us on the Dan Patrick Show. Let's start. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Hello, Rob. Hello, Doug. Happy holidays to you both.
No doubt.
You had pointed out to me on my show about some of the basic things that Jeff Saturday wasn't prepared for early in his Colts tenure. Okay, so now it's coming mercifully to an end.
Thank God.
I put you in charge of the Colts. What do you do to try and start the process of fixing that thing?
Well, the first thing you have to do is build alignment. One of the things I do, one of the many jobs I have, I write for this website called The Daily Coach, which is a coaching website for leadership and hopefully inspiring young coaches to sign up and read a newsletter to how to become a leader, how to run a program. And yesterday we wrote about alignment. And ultimately, that's really where the Colts have to start. Everybody's going to focus on the quarterback, but they have to gain alignment. And why is that? Because even though Saturday may not be the coach, and I'm not ruling out that he will be, but just say he's not going to be the coach, he's a looming presence in that organization. Because even though he'll go back to the worldwide leader, his voice is still going to be in the telephone talking to the owner. And that creates non-alignment. And so the new coach that comes in has to be assured that everybody's on the same page. that they're all working towards the same goal, that everybody's rowing in the same direction. I think that's the number one thing. Number two, they've got to find the best leader. Forget about who's going to develop the quarterback. You know, that was the whole thing with Nathaniel Hackett. Well, we'll get Hackett in here. He can either help us get Aaron Rodgers or he'll coach the quarterback. That didn't work. Leadership is what matters most in football. The ability to command the room, the ability to have a plan and get everybody aligned. And I think that's the first step for the Colts. I think they've got to get a more physically tough team. They've got to change their style a little bit. And obviously, they've got to find a quarterback.
But wait a minute,
Rob, excuse me for 1 second, Rob. I mean, I would say that the biggest mistake that Saturday made is hiring a guy who's never called plays to call plays, right? Like, if you're inexperienced, okay. Surround yourself with guys that know what you don't know. And I think he actually is a really – he hits the leadership aspects you're talking about. But in terms of decision-making, that's a terrible decision from a guy that has to know what he doesn't know.
You can't lead if you can't solve problems. So you can rah-rah. You can get them all up. But when they come to you and say, how are we going to fix this? Now, we've seen Saturday take a kind of giant step. When he first started coaching, he had nothing in his hand. And yesterday, he was now back to being the typical play caller in the NFL, writing stuff on a note card and having the play sheet in front of him. So obviously, he's taken a special interest. But he's not skilled or qualified enough to really walk into the room and say, fellas, look, when they line up in this under front and they're stemming the three technique into our zone, we've got to figure out a way. We've got to come up with a way to handle it. When they're playing trap two, we've got to do this. You got to be able to know that stuff, right? And that's how you lead. You don't lead because you say, hey, fellas, let's go out there and win one for the Gipper. That's not leadership.
Here's my issue. And you said I'm not ruling him out. Why shouldn't he be ruled out? Because he has a relationship, Rob.
Better than I do. The NFL is not about electing people. It's not about selection. It's about election, right? It's who can become elected by the owner.
I get that. I agree.
It's not based on qualification. It's never been based on that. I mean, here's Don Martindale, one of the best defensive coaches in all of football. He can't even get an interview.
He got fired by the Ravens last year.
He can't get an interview.
I understand. I get it. But this league has an issue, as we know, with the league being 75% black and all these black coaches who want opportunities, and you mean to tell me that they're going to have a situation where Jeff Saturday gets pushed to the front of the line, who flames out, loses the biggest lead in NFL history, who's been embarrassed the last 3 or 4 weeks, and then they're going to turn around and Jim Irsay is going to look everybody in the face and go, he's my coach, and we're supposed to be like, oh, okay, yeah, because they're buddies, because they're friends, and people should accept that, Mike?
I mean, look, I don't disagree with you, Rob. I'm just telling you the practicalities of the NFL. When has logic ever prevailed? I mean, you know, look, Nathaniel Hackett wasn't ready to become a head coach. Go back and read the Denver Post about how they went through this process of hiring the coaches. You know, I mean, Nathaniel Hackett was associated with Matt LaFleur, who was associated with Sean McVay.
Right.
Once you touch that, you become gold.
Okay, let me, Doug, I'm sorry. I want to ask about Josh McDaniels, somebody who you know or whatnot. I think he's been, like, the job that he's done with the Raiders, with the talent that they have, I can't believe how bad the Raiders have been this year, the blown leads. And
Have you watched the games?
Yes.
Have you watched the games? Okay. So, you know, I mean, look, you know, they're in every game. When their quarterback makes a throw to win the game, you let me know. Last week, he's got Darren Waller wide open on an in-cut. He throws the ball out of bounds to Davante Adams on the most important play of the game.
Okay.
The Rams, he throws the ball. Davante Adams is wide open for a first down, and he throws a pop fly down center field, and it's intercepted.
So when
you got to be objective.
Okay.
You got to be able to watch the tape and understand why are they not winning.
Okay, help me with this, Mike. What was it in Denver? Was it because Tim Tebow couldn't make
– Look, Rob, were you the best sports writer in the Detroit press history 15, 20 years
ago? Yeah, I was.
No, you weren't.
Well, Mitch Albom was second.
No, you weren't. I mean, you keep going back to Denver. That's revisionist history.
No, but he hasn't had any success, Mike.
What do you mean he hasn't had any? Hold on.
Been there 1 year?
Mike, can I help you? You didn't have any success? Did you watch the New England Patriots?
I'm asking, no,
hold
as
on.
A head
have
coach.
You seen it?
As a head coach.
Have you ever watched them run an offense? I mean, look at the throws, Rob. Spend some time. Watch the tape.
You can be a great offensive coordinator. I'm not doubting that, Mike. What I'm saying is, as everybody doesn't make a great head coach.
You're asking why they're losing games. And he's telling you why they're losing games.
You basically are accusing him of not being able to run the offense when if you would spend 10 minutes, and I'll do it with you, I'll show you every play.
So it's Derek Carr's fault. So if Derek Carr
it's not all Carr's fault.
So if Carr makes
a
game
throw. You're paying somebody $30 million a year, Rob, and I know that, you know, you're in that income bracket.
Yeah,
when you're making $30 million a year, you got to make plays. You got to make the plays that win the game. You got to do that. That's why you're getting $30 million a year. That's why Fox has you in every platform, because you make the plays when it has to happen. If you don't make those plays,
they
you're
find
sitting
somebody
next
who does.
To me.
Well, right. Here's my only issue with that, and I hear your point, but here's if you're going to say, okay, well, the players aren't making the plays, then we can't glorify the coaches when the players do make the plays. So which one is it? So
it's both, Rob. Okay? You got to have the right call. You got to have the right play. You got 3rd and 5 against Pittsburgh. You need a first down to win the game. They call the right play against the right cover. In cut. He throws the ball out of bounds into double coverage. Mike Tomlin was the only guy who could have caught the ball. Okay? So that's the right play called at the right time, not executed. Fall to the coach? I'm sure they got to assume liability. The fall to the player? Absolutely. Okay? You got to be able to handle it. This is the hardest thing. What you're doing is the biggest mistake most people make in sports, is they can't figure out why they win and why they lose. And so you're sitting there blaming the coach, which is wonderful, but you're not watching the tape to get the information to be able to assess it. Is the coaching great? No. I'm not absolving those. They've had opportunities, right? But they've also had plays on the tape that they just don't make.
Let me ask you about in that division, the Denver Broncos. Okay, so Patton goes out and he hires Nathaniel Hackett. It doesn't work. They pulled the trigger yesterday. But you can't get rid of Russell Wilson with that contract, right? You can't move off him. So, Michael, he brings you in as a consultant. He says, all right, how do we go about fixing this thing? What do you do?
Well, you got to restart it, right? So all you've done is kiss Russell's butt, right? You've come in there and say, you know, everybody says, hey, they're a Super Bowl winning team. I'm sure some people at Fox thought they were going to be dominating the Super Bowl for years to come, okay, because they got Russell. So you're going to have to de-recruit Russell. You're going to have to go in and say, Russell, you're not the same player you were. Now, we paid you. We can't get rid of you. But either you're going to fall in the program or we're going to have to do something else. We're going to have to run the ball. We're going to have to run the offense that we run, not the one that lets you cook, because you're not cooking anymore. You're not even the cooker at the cafeteria. You're making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So we're going to run something different. Somebody's got to have confrontation with the player to let them know that this isn't him. But what happened is they bring him in. They have all these expectations. They recruit him. They reward him with a contract, which loses the locker room. Because let me tell you this, and I don't care what Rob thinks about all these other coaches, the players know more than ever.
Correct.
They know. You can't fool the locker room. And so somebody's going to have to deal with Russell to get the locker room back. That's where I think they lost it. That's why they lost 50. The locker room doesn't buy it.
So why is Nathaniel Hackett being run out if, as you talked about just a minute ago, about players making plays, then this should be on him. Why is it Nathaniel Hackett?
Because they couldn't even get the plays in on time, Rob.
Okay, but it's still about the quarterback. It's still about
Rob, they tried a 67-yard field goal.
I get that, but you got to admit that Russell Wilson is not as advertised when you made that
trade.
I don't disagree with that.
That's what
they
would.
Here's what I will say to defend Russell. To defend Nathaniel Hackett, the general manager, George Payton, has two jobs. The most critical jobs a general manager has in football, when he has the kind of authority that George has, okay? I was a general manager. I never had that authority. The authority to go out and hire the coach on your own. The authority to draft the players that you want and the authority to make the trade. Remember, they didn't have an owner.
Right.
So he had complete authority. And the two most important critical decisions you must make as a general manager in football – is the quarterback and the head coach, and he blew both of them.
Well, hey, listen, at least the quarterback contract is 4 years guaranteed, so it's, that you know,
right. I mean,
outside
God.
Of that,
like
outside of that,
Mrs. Fox. I mean, it's more buttoned up than Rob's contract.
Well, I wish. Wow.
Michael, has Brandon Staley figured it out, or are they just playing inferior competition?
I mean, I think he's done a better job of not mismanaging the games. You give him credit, and they play better for some reason, which I can't explain. Teams go into the game against them, and they don't even try to have a diversified running a game. Like last night, I thought the Colts would have gone in there, and I know that Nick Foles wants to be in shotgun, but I thought they would try to muscle the ball around. I mean, they averaged 4.9 yards a carry. They averaged 4.9 yards a carry, and they only ran it 12 times, essentially.
Well, they don't have the running back either. I mean, for you know.
Well, but you can. But they had Moss average. Moss was averaging. He had 12 carries for 65 yards. He was running the ball, except they got pass happy. You know, one of the things Bill Walsh always talked about was the true brilliance of an offensive coach isn't in play design of passes. It's in play design of runs. How we're going to run the ball when we need to run the ball. How do we form it? And Kyle Shanahan does this brilliantly. He does it better than anybody in the league, right? And so he's able to run the ball whenever he needs to run the ball by his design. And certainly I'm not disputing he's got great talent, but we've seen it happen where these backs we don't even know the name of come in and gain 1,000 yards for him. So I thought they would. And Staley's played the – I mean, my man Mike McDaniel goes out there with Miami, and he's supposed to be the guru of all gurus in the running game, and he tries to prove to everybody that Tua is better than Herbert, and he throws it all over the lot. Makes no sense. If you're playing the Chargers come playoff time, they're going to have – somebody's going to run the ball at them, and they're going to have to defend it.
Our guest is Michael Lombardi, former NFL GM and host on VSiN. Mike, let me ask you, you just brought up the Dolphins and Tua. How big of a win was that for Green Bay? Do you discount it, poo-poo it because of the interceptions by Tua? Or did we see something? The Packers have won 3 in a row. They got 2 more games with a chance to get in the playoffs. A lot of stuff has gone wrong for that team. No receivers, young receivers, injuries. Aaron Rodgers, that play wasn't as on the same level as it had been the last 2 years. Are the Packers a mirage or what are they?
I mean, I think they're an average team that, look, the defense was a sieve in the beginning of the game, and I think that fumble that Jared Reed created on Morsett and got the ball back, I think that kind of was the turning point of the game. And, look, the Dolphins got the ball 4 times in the second half, you know, and they missed a field goal and they had 3 interceptions. Now, maybe that was because Tua had a concussion and they didn't know it, which to me is hard to understand because if you're looking at them eye to eye and you're talking to them in between series and he's not getting it, you know, then something's wrong. I mean, Tua did make a comment yesterday after the game. He said, you know, maybe there was a miscommunication on the second interception. Maybe I called the play wrong. Well, if that's what happened in the game, he called the play wrong, you got to be aware of that as a coach, right? So that's something that's got to bother you. But I think the Packers got fortunate. And look, he made some bad throws, whether it was the cause of the concussion or he just made bad throws, I don't know. But I think the thing about Tua that we have to understand, that to me, Tua is too polarizing. Everybody, you're either in Tua's camp and he's elite, or you're a Tua hater, right? And that's unfair to the kid. The kid's a good player. He can throw the ball with accuracy. He's an average athlete, right? He's not an elite player. But and when you say that, doesn't mean you're a hater. That means you're describing the player.
Right.
He needs good players around him. That's all you're saying. And this whole idea you have to say he's elite or you say he's horrible is really unfair to the kid.
No, but that's where we put sports media, right? That's where.
No, I mean, look, you got to be honest. Like, you got to be honest. If you're elite, the reason we're having this debate, and it really goes back to the Dolphins because they took Tua over Herbert.
Right.
Herbert's elite. Okay, let's put that out there. He's elite. He is elite. There would be a line from Detroit to L.A. for coaches wanting to coach Herbert as head coaches. I mean, that's how elite he is. Now, the reason we have to fight this all the time is because Tua is not elite. He's a good player. He's average in terms of a lot of things he does. He throws the ball in rhythm. But he's not going to carry a program to a Super Bowl. He's going to help but not carry.
Do you think he's the quarterback there, starting quarterback next year there?
I think they have no choice. I mean, look, they've built – every time you turn around, they've done the campaign. They've been trying to promote the campaign there the whole time, you know, about how good he is and how much – you know, listen to McDaniel's talk. You know, even when he makes mistakes, it's not his fault. They keep trying to run this campaign because they picked him over Herbert. I think that's what it all comes down to. Do you think they can win? They got to get better on defense. Look, they hired McDaniel because he was a running game guru. They're not playing complementary football. Their defense isn't very good, and yet they don't run the football enough to keep their defense off the field. In the NFL today, if you want to play good defense, play 28 minutes of defense. Don't play 32. You play better when you play less defense than when you play more. Sure. And they don't run the ball. They had 10 carries in the first half. They're averaging over 5 yards a carry, and he stopped running the football. Why? I don't know.
Let me ask you about Dan Campbell in Detroit. You know, people are ready to have a parade. They won 3 games last year. They've won 7 games this year, which was their over-under was 6.5. So they're kind of right at that mark there. Is there something going on in Detroit? Is he really turning things around? Because the biggest game of the year against the Panthers, they gave up 320 yards on the ground and looked awful. And it was so Lions-like to me. But where are you on Dan Campbell and the Lions?
Well, I think there's a couple factors, right? Elliott didn't play the safety in the game, and that's a critical injury, right? They played a lot of nickel later in the year. Since the bye week, they've played more nickel than base, which has given them more speed on defense. And Elliott's been a key component in that. He tackles really well. Without him in the game, they were vulnerable. Now, I think the hardest job any head coach has is when a team starts to win, is Parcells used to say, don't take the cheese. Don't become a mouse. And he used to put cheese around players' lockers to remind them. I think the Lions took the cheese. I think they read their press clippings. I thought they were really good. They fumbled getting ready to go in. That turned the game. And they couldn't stop the Panthers. They got punched right in the mouth, and they didn't really know how to react. It's probably the best thing that ever happened for Dan Campbell because he's now got his team's attention. Can he still make the playoffs? Maybe. Look, if they get in the playoffs, they can throw the ball. They can run the ball. They're good up front. They can typically block. They'll be a problem. Now, they hurt themselves on defense because they're just not talented enough. They're a draft away from being a better defense. But he's done a better job of managing the game, which has not been a strength early in his career, and he's done a better job of executing that offense behind Ben Johnson's play caller.
Michael, outstanding stuff. Of course, you can check out The Daily Coach, follow him on social media as well, at M. Lombardi NFL, or listen to his GM Shuffle podcast, the host of the Lombardi Line on VSiN, Michael Lombardi.
I am fired up. Nothing better than a cup of coffee.
Let's go watch tape together, Rob.
Let's do it.
Let's watch tape.
But the only problem is, Mike, when I put the tape in at my house, is reruns of The Golden Girls. That's the only problem.
That's the problem. That is
the problem. Michael, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.